in spirit and in truth. May we sing to the praise of God, hymn 465, God of Grace and God of Glory. Stand. Be seated. This morning we come before God to honor the memory of a good man. Dr. W.R. Cullum, for 42 years, taught Bible here at Wake Forest College. He served many pastorates in this area, and his influence has been extended far and wide. On one occasion, when honor was paid to him, he made the comment, "If any good has come out of my life, here is an example of what God can do with a man who loves him." Dr. Cullum received many honors in his time, and among these, one that pleased him greatly was the naming of association in his honor, the W.R. Cullum Baptist Association. This morning, members of that association have gathered with us to honor him. Last week was the centennial of his birth. He lived 96 years, almost 97, and it's a fitting time and date to remember him. We want at this time to recognize the friends and guests who are with us. If we ask that the pastors and members of the Cullum Association, if they would stand at this time, we will not call you by name. Many of these are students of our fellowship. Will you stand? The pastors of the Cullum Association, friends, thank you. We're also happy to have others with us. I believe it will be the first time that Mr. Toby Drewing of the Biblical Recorder has had an opportunity to visit our campus. We're very glad to have him and other visitors to come and worship with us. We've asked the Reverend Alvin B. O'Shields, pastor of the North Henderson Baptist Church, to come and lead us in responsive reading, after which Dr. Carl English, Association Missionary for the Cullum Association, will lead us in prayer. Mr. O'Shields.
Our responsive reading is number 29. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor.
May we bow in reverence. Eternal God, out of whose mind hath come all that is good, we rejoice in thy faithfulness, for morning by morning new blessings we see. All that we have needed, thy hand hath provided. Help us to respond to thy great love. Save us, O Lord, from the expenditure of time and energy in vain pursuits. Direct us from our selfishness and short-sightedness. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive our debtors. Give us strength to rise above the many temptations that come our way. And grant us courage to make new beginnings with thee. And be thou our wisdom in every choice we make. We thank thee for the pioneers of faith, whose investment of the years are paying rich dividends, and into whose labors we are entered. We lift up for thy blessing this seminary family. May thy presence be felt in all of her ways, and in the sharing learning process of the classroom, may the enthusiasm to discover thy truths be matched by determination to obey them. We pray for a world of peace and goodwill among men in every walk of life. Bless those who are giving their all to alleviate the hurt of mankind, and may their tribe increase. Help us to help all people to learn of him in whose name and presence we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Reverend John R. Link, pastor of the Warrenton Baptist Church, has served as memorial chairman in the Cullum Association, and we'll recognize him at this time to make a memorial presentation. It's quite fitting that Mr. Link should do this, for not only is he a lover of books, but he himself has written a valuable volume, How to Understand the Bible, published last year by the Judson Press. Mr. Link is a friend of our school for a long time, and we're happy to have him as a student here on our campus. Mr. Link.
I never realized it was so far from that seat up there before. But you know, I really have no reason to be nervous this morning. How often have you told yourself that? But I haven't, because I come bearing gifts. And when you come bearing gifts, whatever you say is acceptable. I even noticed that Dr. Durham's not up here on the front seat with his Hebrew Bible checking on what I have to say. And Dean Brown hasn't started taking down criticisms yet. So I shouldn't be nervous. But I am. Seriously, I'm glad to make this presentation for two reasons. First, because of the man for whom this memorial is established. And second, because of the school to which it's presented. Dr. W.R. Cullum was a great and unique man. At 95, he was more alert than I am. I don't believe he ever closed a lecture without having something to say about, quote, this little book. Now, he was a lover of books. He was always presenting some book to you, talking about books. If my memory serves me correctly, Dr. Cullum established or served as the first chair of religion to be established in any college or university in North Carolina, and perhaps in the United States, I'm not sure. At some point there, he was the first, and he did it a long time. In 1958, when Dr. Cullum was 91 years of age, a group of churches from the Tar River Association met in Warrenton to form a new association. The name Cullum Association was proposed to the group as a proper name for the association. One man arose and objected to this name on the basis that he didn't think it was wise to name an organization after a living man, because the man hadn't died yet and he might embarrass an association. One of the laymen in the Warrenton Church arose and he said, I don't think we have anything to fear on that score. I do not believe that at the age of 91, Dr. Cullum is going to do anything to embarrass this association. And so the association was named the Cullum Baptist Association. In the annual meeting of the association in 1963, following the death of Dr. Cullum at the age of 96, it was proposed that our association set up some memorial for Dr. Cullum. And among the proposals was that we establish a memorial bookshelf at the Southeastern Theological Seminary in honor of Dr. Cullum. This seemed to be the exact thing, the right thing, because the man and the school fit so beautifully. And so it was adopted. And then the churches of the association were invited to make contributions to this fund as they desired. The goal of $1,000 was set and has been reached. And that's why I am nervous this morning. Not because it's reached, but because it put me here. Now, this bookshelf plan gives us students from Southeastern, I think, an excellent means of enlisting our churches in the support of our seminary. Now, no doubt you're going to find the problem I have found through the years of getting your churches interested in your seminary or in seminaries in general. That's going to be a problem. For some reason, churches are not interested in seminaries and higher education as the graduates are. But we have an exceptional opportunity, I think, here to enlist them through this Memorial Bookshelf Plan, which, by the way, is a plan that is in operation and is general, and I understand that for the next 18 months, this is going to receive great emphasis. The emphasis is going to be on the library and on setting up bookshelves so that you and I have the opportunity to present to our churches this memorial, or the opportunity of this memorial as a means of getting our churches interested in our seminary and back of our seminary. It's also an opportunity, I believe, for associations to establish memorials and give the churches an opportunity to send in funds for something really worthwhile. I say this because of my great interest in Southeastern Seminary. I have been interested for some time. When Southeastern Seminary was organized, now I must admit that I was skeptical. I had serious reservations in my own mind about establishing another Southern Baptist Seminary. But when it had proved to be an exceptional school of high quality with academic freedom, I was delighted. I was delighted because I realized that I now have a school within our Southern Baptist family which I can wholeheartedly recommend to students from my churches. And I congratulate myself and I congratulate you on the fact that we have such a seminary which we can commend our young people, and toward which we can turn the support of our churches. We are indeed fortunate. Now, I must tell the whole truth, and I must say I found only one fault in Southeastern Seminary so far, and I've just found that recently. You know, somebody failed to inform the faculty that students have other courses than the one they teach individually. Each faculty member appears, now I'm not going to make any blanket condemnation, I'm not capable of that, but it appears to me, from years of experience and observation, each faculty member appears to assume that the student is taking the one course and has all of his time to devote to that course. The fact is that during the past semester, I have had presented to me so many books and been required to read so many books that when I walk on the sidewalks, they look like they're made out of books. And when I go to bed at night and go to sleep, I dream about nothing but books, and I long for some of the good old dreams I used to have. So I wish somebody, now I don't know whether that's the president or the dean's responsibility. I certainly wouldn't trust the dean to do it. Now, I don't know whose duty it is, but I think somebody should inform the members of the faculty that we have other courses we have to work on also. But seriously, I am grateful for this school. And by the way, I've just discovered recently that the faculty is the school. And I think that's the correct discovery. The faculty is the school. And so, after saying all the bad things about the faculty that I had to say, I'm glad to say that I am grateful we have the faculty because that makes the school that we have. And I'm grateful for it. And so, for that reason, I am glad again to make this presentation. So, Dr. Binkley, I take great pleasure in presenting to you this check in the amount of $1,091 for the establishment of a bookshelf in the library in memory of Dr. W.R. Cullum, with the expectation and the hope that further funds will be sent to add to this. I know that some are yet to come, so we hope that this will keep growing.
On behalf of the Southeastern Baptist Seminary, it is my pleasure to accept with great gratitude this check in the amount of $1,091 from the Cullum Baptist Association to establish the W.R. Cullum Memorial Fund. This fund will be held in perpetuity and invested with meticulous care. Only the interest will be used. It will be used in the annual budget for the book fund of this school. And I trust that you will convey to the association our sincere appreciation and thanks.
Thanks for your graciousness.
I should like to say also that we earnestly hope that other associations will follow the example set by the W.R. Cullum Association in the establishment of a memorial book shelf. We live within the restrictions of the business and financial plan of the Southern Baptist Convention. We do not make any direct approach to any church with a request for gifts. We are permitted to talk with individuals about gifts, and pastors are certainly free to talk with individuals about gifts. Let me say that we are very grateful for the vital and cordial relation between this school and the Cullum Baptist Association. We cherish it. It's a vital relation. It's a cordial relation. It's a strong relation. It is our intention, through established channels, to increase funds to endow at least the purchase of books and scholarly journals for our library. And I should like publicly to express the hope that at least 24 additional associations in this state will follow the example set here today. This is an opportunity to participate in the advancement of theological education at a very vital point. The cost of religious books has advanced 60% within recent years. But I'm not thinking primarily of cost. I am thinking of the fact that books are among the most precious, durable assets of any university or theological school. The faculty cannot do its work with effectiveness. The students cannot achieve their objective without an adequately equipped library. And I believe that this purpose to enlarge and to enrich our library is in harmony with the purpose of this school. It is in harmony with the purpose of the Southern Baptist Convention. It is in harmony with the purpose of theological education in the whole Christian movement. It is in harmony with the fundamental purpose of the life and work of Dr. W. R. Cullen. It is a good thing to honor the memory of a faithful teacher, a good minister of Jesus Christ. With a few friends of the library to provide the initiative and the leadership, surely 25 outstanding leaders in our denomination and this state can be identified with this high purpose which we are celebrating here today. It was my good fortune to be a student in courses taught by Dr. Cullen. I came under his influence when I was 16 years of age. He thought in terms of the mission of the church in its relation to the whole world. And he took the trouble to travel throughout the world. He had a realistic understanding of the criticism of the church by the world as early as 1924. He never lost heart concerning the mission of the church in the world. I graded papers for him. I taught classes for him when he was on journeys. He honored me with his friendship. I remember him as a man who was devoted to God, a man who had a strong sense of mission, a man who had a considerable degree of objectivity, willing to receive truth from any source, a friendly man. A man who was willing to give himself to Christian education, adequately defined. It is entirely proper for us to honor his memory in this way. As most of you know, Dr. Blackmore has written a biography of Dr. Cullen entitled The Cullen Lantern. Thousands of hours of research went into the preparation of this book. And Dr. Blackmore, we can say today, the Cullum lantern still shines. Let us sing hymn number 252.